Hello and welcome to the programme. You can visit the website anytime you like, rte.ie/Mooney. So a great show ahead of us tonight. Lots of listeners' questions via voice note and email. We'll be talking to Simon Barr about the recent sightings of dolphins up the River Lee in Cork. And Terry Flanagan is on a nature reserve in County Meath. I can't wait. But first, let's say hello to the panel. We've got Eric Dempsey and Niall Hatch in studio. And joining us from his home in Cove in County Cork, we've got Jim Wilson. Jim, how are you?
Fantastic. Happy New Year to all of you.
Yes. Are you allowed to say happy? I suppose you're still allowed to say Happy New Year to people in January if you haven't met them.
I think you are, because my wife Anne is always telling me, will you stop saying Happy New Year to people? I have a feeling I'm still saying it in February, but it's just when you meet people that you haven't met already.
Yes. Anyway, before we came on, Eric was talking about meerkats, Jim.
Yeah, I was just, myself and Niall were chatting about meerkats, and they're one of those little mammals that I've travelled and I've seen lots and lots of different mammals around the world, but I've never seen a meerkat in the wild, and I would just love to see.
Why?
I think they have such character, and you know, I suppose it's that anthropomorphic thing that, you know, they these cute little things that, you know, David Attenborough with one sitting on his head, like, it just, how could you not love meerkats? And they have such a social society, and they're resilient little guys as well. They take on scorpions, they get bitten by poisonous snakes, and they're well able to look after themselves. They have societies, they look after their young. I think they're great, great little animals.
They really are very cute. I think that's the big part of the attraction. We're very attracted to them. I've never seen one in the wild either, Eric. I would absolutely love to. My main encounter, my most memorable one with meerkats was actually in Korea, in South Korea, in Seoul, where they have cafes there. And a lot of people, they don't have pets because apartments are quite small. So they go out to socialise with animals in cafes. And this was a meerkat cafe. So you're there having your
tea. Say that again. They go out to socialise with animals in cafe.
Yeah.
So you go to a cafe where there's a particular species, or are there a variety of species?
It's very common with cats.
Multi-species?
In Japan, you get this a lot too. I think it started in Tokyo. You go, if you don't have a pet, like a cat or dog at home, you go to a cat cafe. You're surrounded by cats. You can pet them. They're very habituated to people. Well, this in place in Korea did this with meerkats. And they're also very sociable. And they would just be running around and jumping on your lap while you're having your tea and your coffee and your cake. And then people would feed them little mealworms, because they don't want your cake. They want little insects, because they're very tough. And people are just taking pictures and loving it. I've even seen owl cafes. I don't know if I'd go to one of those myself. I don't know if that's great to be contacting owls. With these meerkats, at least they were choosing to come to the people. They didn't seem to have any difficulties for them, so I was happy enough with it. It was a really interesting experience.
And you buy the mealworm in the cafe, presumably, do you? Or do you get it free? And you
I'm
just buy your coffee and your cake?
They had little dispensers around the place. I think it's all part of the service. I think that's what they do. They provide these mealworms, and they'll come and they'll jump up on you, and they'll just run around and sit on your shoulder. And it was really quite
cute. You haven't seen one in the wild, though?
Not in the wild, no. I'd love to.
Well, you'd have to go to Africa, wouldn't you? The very tip of Africa to see them there. Have you seen them, Jim?
No, I haven't either. And I've been down that part of the world once or twice before, and not at all. But I'm just wondering, Niall, with this very, very scientific experiment you carried out in Korea, that is it safe to say they don't like the cakes they bake there? Would they not kind of take a preference to what you're eating as opposed to these mealworms? It is quite interesting to have them so far out of their habitat, because we're used to seeing them. Well, obviously they're used for advertising and everything else, as Eric alluded to, with the anthropomorphic approach, putting human feelings on them. The fact that they can stand upright, I think just like penguins, we're automatically kind of programmed to like or to be interested in them. I think they're just incredible. But from what I gather, they're not all cute and cuddly all the time, even amongst themselves. And something has just come into my head about, which ye may know already, about the matriarchal element to these animals, that apparently can get quite vicious at times.
I know that infanticide does happen in meerkat communities. They will kill rival offspring, which is not something we like to think about with such cute animals. But that's the thing, you know, they don't care what we think of them. They're animals. They behave, and they've evolved to behave in these ways that don't take regard of human sentiment or anything like that. And I think that can burst a few bubbles when people realise actually these can be quite aggressive and, from a human morality point of view, unpleasant animals. That's very normal in nature. It's not confined to meerkats. And also, when people raise these things, I always say, look at us humans. We're not great either, really.
No, we're not. We're not.
We're not a good example. Quick question for you three. What is the collective noun for a group of meerkats? The clock is ticking.
I'd say a mob.
You'd say a mob, Niall?
A cluster.
A cluster. Jim?
A lot.
Well, a mob or a clan, apparently.
Oh, really?
Yeah, mob or a clan. So you can use either.
Well, I was just thinking of a mob because that's what they look like. They arrive and they're sort of hanging out and they're gone again. It's like a moving mob. So, yeah. It's a
well, apparently every morning they get up nice and early and off they go together in search of food. And when they're foraging for food, one of them adopts a kind of vantage point and it acts as a sentry, keeping an eye out. Like the geese when they're out in the Wexford slobs, the Greenland white front geese, aren't they the ones down there? Not the Greenland white fronts?
No, not the white
And so you'll always have the birds on the lookout because it's very important. So when they're all foraging on the ground, and apparently they also dig holes where they're foraging in case they have to escape really quickly if a predator comes along. But what would be the predators, Niall? Any idea?
Oh, there's quite a few. If you're an animal that size, there's many things want to eat you. Birds of prey, first and foremost. And there's many of those in Southern Africa. So they're on the agenda. So the meerkats will be scanning the skies. But there's all sorts of other things. There are snakes that would go for them. There are ground predators like jackals would go for them.
Mongoose as well.
So, yeah, there's lots of things.
But they are a member of the mongoose family themselves.
I think they're related to mongoose. Yeah, I think they are. Mongooses.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. But they're a beautiful creature, no doubt about it. So you'll have to go, Eric. Yeah, we'll have to dispatch you. I don't mean dispatch you. I mean send you.
Yeah. I think I'd like to do a documentary on meerkats.
Well, off you go to the tip of Africa. Can we have it by next Friday at 2 o'clock, please?
I'd like to do a documentary, please, about weird cafes.
Sure. Jim, you want to throw your tuppence halfpenny worth in?
Oh, God, you caught me on the hop there.